Today on the Travel Guys.
In the news, Hawaiian tourists are left on the curb in the middle of the night, and the Love Boat may be on its final cruise.
At 2:20, we're joined by Josie Miller of TripAdvisor as we ask her about the real value of the reviews on her website, and we'll take your phone calls.
And coming up at 2:45, we're going to shift gears to the entertainment side of the program and welcome the cast of Forbidden Broadway.
It's a cloudy and overcast day. Might even be a few sprinkles there out there somewhere, but we've got a busy hour for you today on the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Hit the road. Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks. I'm on Route 66.
That's with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another fabulous edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. I'm Tom Romano, and you know, Mark, I don't know what it is about getting together for 1 hour every Sunday that, to me, is so much fun and so exciting. I've been doing this for a lot of years, and I anticipate this moment and this time together and doing this show every week, and I hope our listeners do as well.
Well, it's a little different than what you do. I mean, even though you are on the radio all the time, this is a little different kind of radio, sort of like radio used to be, I guess.
Pretty much.
People came in and talked about what I mean.
Exactly.
We have a format and we have guests and we have a plan, but sometimes we deviate from that plan just a tad. Speaking of deviating from plans, how are the two Romano daughters to be wedded?
Oh. Oh, I'll tell you, things are coming together a little at a time. You know, we're into the final stages of trying to pick the flowers.
Uh-huh.
We've got cupcakes for Amanda's wedding, which is a little different than your traditional wedding cake.
Uh-huh.
And from icing on the cupcake, great folks. And those up at the Betta Place. I got to get that right. It's called the Betta Place.
Betta Place.
We've been working really hard to finalize all the loose ends there. We're just about to pick our DJ. You know, you might not think that's a big deal, but, you know, weddings and the
when
music
this is all
and the
done, I'm going to make sure you have the address and the times for loaves and fishes, because that's going to be where you're going to be.
You're supposed to ask me, Tom, now you are a DJ.
Why are you hiring a DJ?
Hey, because I just want to be in the party. However, it will be a little hard to not want to interrupt the DJ. Say, what kind of a week did you have? I understand you got to go behind the scenes. We talked about this last week. You went behind the scenes at Virgin America Airlines.
I was a part of a very special conference in San Francisco that's going to be featured on this program next week. It's about a micro lending organization called Kiva, in which people from the United States are able to make small loans to people in other countries. It's kind of a cool thing, and I think it belongs on a travel program. I was there because a bunch of frequent flyers have become a part of this organization and are loaning money and are participating in it. And as part of that conference, they allowed us to go behind the Virgin America people. What nice folks. Took 10 of us behind the scenes and down on the ramp, and we were driving a jet bridge, and you know that thing that pulls up to the airplane?
Jet bridge.
We were having a blast. I didn't know that you could do those things in an airport anymore, but we did. I'm going to prepare a written report, have it all for you next week.
Good.
Along with the gentleman who founded MilePoint, the website that put this on, the folks from Kiva, explain it all to you. In fact, Tom, I think we will make some loans on the air and follow some of these folks as they in their life travels. I think it will be a lot of fun. So all of that will come up next week.
First, I've heard that I'm going to be lending money. How do you like, Brandon? What do you think? Right here on the radio, talking to our engineer, I've been obligated to make a loan. Well, we'll find more about this next week, right?
98.7% of these loans get paid back.
Oh, well, that's good.
So that's better probably than you have with friends that you loan money to out there for sure.
All right, let's knock out the travel news. We've got a big show ahead of us. Mark, fire up the music. Let's check it out. What's going on in today's travel news?
Well, some interesting little tidbits here. Hawaiian tourism officials spent Friday apologizing to people who got booted out of an airport last week. Hawaii's been having a really seriously bad situation with rain over there, particularly on the islands of Oahu and Kauai. On Tuesday night, they canceled the last flights out of the airport, and all the folks who couldn't get a rental car or a hotel were kicked out of the airport at midnight. The guard told the passengers, including a pregnant woman and a disabled man, that they had to leave immediately. He basically put them out on the curb in the middle of the rainstorm.
Now, was this in the Honolulu airport?
No, this was in the Lihue airport on the island of Kauai.
Wow.
And so the Hawaii tourism people and Hawaiian Airlines have been trying to contact the passengers so that they can apologize to them personally.
I can think of worse places on the planet to have to be stranded than Hawaii.
Yeah, at least it would probably be reasonably warm in the middle of the night in Hawaii. All right, we alluded to this on the teaser before the show. A flight attendant, you can see this. It's all over the web now. It's gone completely viral. I saw it before we went on the show. It's on the AOL homepage. YouTube, over 300,000 people have viewed it already. A flight attendant apparently on a flight that was taking off from Dallas-Fort Worth, bound for Chicago O'Hare, kind of went into a rant, Tom. Just started freaking out. She was talking about the plane apparently had some sort of mechanical problem, and the pilot had decided that it was fine, and they were going to push back from the gate. And the flight attendant started giving the safety talk, and she just went off the deep end and started telling the passengers. She said she wasn't responsible if the plane crashed. And so,
wasn't the final word on this, though, that it may be a medical issue? She may have been, some medications she was taking or shouldn't have been taking.
Yes, exactly. So they went back to the gate and they took her off and took her to the hospital or the loony bin or something like that. Two flight attendants were taken to local hospitals for treatment. Costa Cruise Lines has announced that the fire-damaged cruise ship Allegro will not return to service. If you're paying attention, that would be the second Costa ship in the last 2 months to have some serious problems. The 28,000-ton Costa Allegro is one of the oldest and smallest ships in the fleet. It had been for sale for some time before the much-publicized fire in one of its engine rooms on February the 22nd. The fire occurred as it was sailing in the Indian Ocean and resulted in a complete loss of power. I'm guessing that sales at Costa might be off just a little bit.
Yeah, I would think.
Once it's a fluke, twice I'm thinking not so much. I got to tell you, at Sports Leisure Vacations, we have only sent one group of people on a Costa cruise in the 32 years I've been in business. That was 4 or 5 years ago, and the folks came back and panned it. I mean, they didn't say it was terrible, but they just said it was nothing to write home about, and we've never been back
since.
One
of the indicators with Costa Cruises that they were having trouble was when the announcement, as we were boarding, kind of went like this.
Please put on your life jackets now and wear them the entire trip, and we will be handing out the fire extinguisher to each passenger. Have a nice day.
Speaking of cruise ships, the Love Boat apparently is making its final cruise. The ship that with a 40-year-old vessel recognizable to millions of Americans as the Love Boat of the 1970s television series has been sold to a Turkish demolition company for just $3.3 million. The 600-passenger ship, tiny by today's standards, has been languishing at a dock in Italy for more than a year. It last sailed for a Spanish-based cruise line after sailing for Princess Cruises from 1975 until 2002. It was built in 1971, named the Sea Venture, and then the Pacific Princess after joining the Princess Fleet. The television series ran from 1977 to 1986. That's a blast from the past.
Yeah, and I thought the whole thing was on the back lot of Universal.
Well, most of it was, but there actually was a ship, and some of the scenes were no, the boat is the thing they lower when the ship sinks.
Correct.
That's the difference between the boat and the ship.
Should the love ship? It just doesn't sound the same.
That doesn't sound right. All right, you remember those old drink coupons, Tom, that Southwest Airlines used to give out that didn't have expiration dates on them?
Sure.
Well, about a year and a half ago, they decided that there were so many drink coupons floating around that they could just call those all in. So they said, in a year, we're not going to take those anymore. And believe it or not, a couple of guys, one of them who's a lawyer in the Midwest, took them to court and is suing them over the fact that they issued drink coupons with no expiration date and then decided to take, to take them back. The judge threw out part of the lawsuit but decided that the breach of contract part of the claim should be allowed to proceed. The gentleman had 45 expired Southwest drink coupons attached to his lawsuit.
Wow.
And that is the mostly worthless travel news for this for this past week.
We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. We have Josie Miller is coming up.
We do, from TripAdvisor. If you have a question that you would like to ask someone for TripAdvisor, if you've got something that you've, a problem you had online or a question about something you found on the website, if you've, and maybe you're out there and you don't even know what TripAdvisor is, you're about to find out. If you have a question for Josie, we'll put you online. If you would like to call us now at 916-921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530, we're about to have a conversation about TripAdvisor. We are the Travel Guys. This is FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
On the love ship. Are we waiting for them to sing?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, it's live radio, so we probably should have, I don't know.
We'll talk to the post.
Yes.
Love. Exciting and new.
Oh, exciting, love, exciting and
exciting
new.
And new, except that the Love Boat
who
is...
Who your favorite character? Oh,
Kaputsky.
Who? Who was your favorite character on the Love
Who was
Boat?
My favorite character? Would you believe I never watched The Love Boat?
Remember?
I ended up in the travel business for all these years. Never was a fan of The Love Boat.
Now, remember when we had Clayton in the studio and we started talking about how he got started? And he was a huge fan of The Love Boat?
Yes.
And there was one of the characters, I don't know who it was, that he wanted to be. And now he is.
Now he is. Almost. Yes, I think he was the cruise director he was talking about
so.
Or something like that.
All right. Go ahead, Mark.
All right. We are the Travel Guys. Welcome to Sunday afternoon with us. We are about to be joined on the line by a special guest. And I say that because it's not often that we have the opportunity to have someone on live with us on Sunday afternoon where we can take your calls if you like, 921-1530 and 1-800-834-1530. Or if you want to send us a question, go to travelguysradio.com, and there's a real quick little form there. You can type in your question and send it. It will pop up to us, and we will ask Josie. Joining us is Josie Miller. Josie is a travel expert from TripAdvisor.com, which is a website that I know many of you who are listening out there are familiar with. Hi, Josie. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Where are you calling us from?
I'm in New York City.
Ah, so the sun will be setting in the Big Apple before
and you,
long.
Josie, what? This is Tom Romano. I'm the other part of the Travel Guys.
Hi,
and
Tom.
And I tell you what, I am literally in awe of what you do, and I'm looking at all of the television shows and appearances that you've made, and, you know, you're a celebrity. You really are. Besides being,
I don't know if I would go that far, but thank you. I'll take it.
She's been on Good Morning America and evening. She's been on just about every news
evening
program
news,
here.
News. The Wedding Channel.
But that would be helpful to Tom. Yes, Tom has two daughters who are getting married
this year.
This spring. So Tom is about to become poverty stricken is a phrase that we use here.
No.
So Josie, welcome to the Travel Guys.
It would be worth it. And thank you. I really appreciate being called a celebrity. I'm a new mom, so I spend most days feeling not glamorous at all, mostly covered in spit up and such. So to be called a celebrity is delightful. I will absolutely take it.
Well, thank you for giving us a little bit of your Sunday evening to talk about TripAdvisor. We often talk on this program about the validity of ratings and the different rating services and how everybody has a rating. Hotel.com tells you that this hotel is a 4 stars and AAA tells you that it's 3 diamonds and you go somewhere else tells you that it's 2.5, whatever it is.
And I noticed on TripAdvisor, it's 4 circles.
It's, yeah.
Or 5 circles.
Circles. And you can decide whether or not TripAdvisor works a little bit differently from some of these other sites. For example, AAA sends out people into the field who go to hotels and restaurants and inspect them. They have a set type of criteria. TripAdvisor works very differently in that people make their own reviews.
How does that work, right, Josie?
Well, you can report back from wherever you are in the world. Tell us all about your experience at a hotel, with an activity tour, with a restaurant, you name it. Have you guys ever left reviews on TripAdvisor?
I have done just a very few myself, three or four of them.
Okay.
And I use it, frankly, our company uses it as a research tool from time to time, not because I look so much at the number of circles, as Tom said, or the number of, of stars that a property gets, but I'm looking for common complaints that may have, gone on for a period of time. You know, a thread like, the place is very dirty, and I see a complaint in June that it's dirty, and I see a complaint in October that it's dirty, and I see a complaint in January that it's dirty. I can pretty much figure out that it's probably they have some housekeeping problems there.
You know, you make a fantastic point. You know, when people ask me about validity of reviews, which does happen every now and then, first of all, I say that you need to be an educated consumer. You know, you're not looking at the top review and calling it a day because that top review is all you need to see. You need to look at a bunch of reviews. You need to probably discard the most positive and the most negative and look for patterns within the ones that remain. I also like to say, in response to people asking me that, do you ever leave reviews on TripAdvisor? Because if you do, and I know I do, well, now we're seeing a pattern here too, because we're real travelers, you know, who are leaving these real reviews. So that's where I think that, you know, the unbiased trip, you know, real reviews comes into play.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a minute, because the biased side of it is something that is often brought up when TripAdvisor reviews or reviews from other websites, Yelp and things like that, are brought up. How do we know that these folks have actually gone to this place and are really a client there, or are they just an employee who are trying to say something nice, or somebody who has
it comes up a lot and on all review sites, not just TripAdvisor. You named a bunch. And I think that it's the nature of the web to wonder about these things. And I'm sure that the bad people are out there, of course. I know that TripAdvisor has a no-tolerance policy when it comes to fraudulent reviews. They have a very extensive process that they go through in checking reviews. People can report if they think a review is false. But I also always have to think that there are 50 million plus reviews and unique visitors coming to TripAdvisor every month. So I don't think that many people would return time and time and time again if they didn't trust it. You know, there's also traveler photos, which that's kind of hard to fake. You know, what you see is what you get. And I also love that managers of properties can respond, and they get the last word. And oftentimes their response to reviews says more to me, than the actual review itself, because if they get defensive and angry and bounce it back like, well, you should have this, that, and the other, that tells me kind of how they're going to act when I'm a customer in their hotel. And if they say on the flip side, we're so sorry that happened to you, that is not the experience we want our customers to have at all. Here's what may have happened. Here's one possible explanation, but there's no excuse. I'm going to report this back to my staff. We're going to work on this. You know, that says a lot to me, you know, probably more than somebody coming on and saying the hotel is dirty.
I would agree with you.
It's just a mature way to handle those things, and they get the last word, so.
There's probably a greater value to me as a consumer and as somebody who acts on behalf of other consumers as a tour operator. You make a valid point there. When folks are looking at TripAdvisor, don't look only at the reviews that have been posted, but look at the answers to the reviews. If a property has some places get reviews once a week, some get them once a month, some of them get three or four or five a week. And so look to see, is management responding at least to the bad ones? Is it something more than just a canned response where you look down and you see there are three or four different complaints and they've made the same canned response has been posted for every one? I would suggest to you that becomes a pretty serious negative. That tells me that somebody is not only getting complaints, but that they have assigned somebody to respond to them who isn't paying any attention to what the complaints, specifics of the complaints might be. And that would be a huge red flag for me. So I think that the reviews themselves represent some really valuable information for travelers, but you make a valid point. It is the response to the reviews in some cases that can tell you whether or not you want to go there, because if a hotel tells you, yeah, look, we understand you've had this problem. We've been redoing that side of the hotel for the last 3 months and it'll be completely done in another 3 weeks. And then by golly, you look on their site and it's 6 months down the road and there aren't any more of those complaints anymore.
Right.
So you can see that perhaps the hotel did. resolve the issue. Same thing when you have restaurants and the like. It's really fun, Josie, to be able to go on your site and if you live in an area and see, for example, there are 86 hotels reviewed in the Sacramento area, have at least one review. And it's interesting to see, what would you think without looking on the website now? We've got a couple of pretty nice hotels, upscale hotels in town. What do you think would be the best hotel in town?
Well, I'm guessing it's probably going to be maybe the Citizen or perhaps the Hilton.
The Hyatt maybe.
Or the Hyatt.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sheraton downtown. The Larkspur Landing in Sacramento, which is a small chain. And then the Citizen is second. You have to go down to about 13th, I think, to find the Hyatt here. And interestingly enough, the Super 8 at the airport is ranked 12th and the Hyatt is ranked 13th. So, but for entirely different, I would suggest you, would you agree, Josie, for entirely different criteria, perhaps?
Perhaps.
People checking into a Hyatt
expect. That's a good point. You know, you want to look at through these reviews and you want to see not necessarily if they're good or bad, but how they relate to your own travel style. Because you may be looking for something in a hotel very different from the next traveler.
Josie Miller is our guest. She is with TripAdvisor. We're going to ask Josie if she would hang on until after the news. If you have a question or something you would like to ask her, we've got a couple of them already emailed to us at travelguysradio.com. You can go there and fill out a question if you'd like, or you can call us at 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530. Back with more on TripAdvisor with the Travel Guys. We're on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
CCR on Classic 93.1. Oh, wait a minute. Wrong radio show. What can I tell you? Hey, we're back. We're the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Once again, we have standing by Josie Miller. Why did Jody?
I'm the guy who screws up the names here.
Josie Miller from Travel Advisors, advisor.com, and we'll be back with her in just a moment.
Trip Advisor, but you're doing really well.
I'm just going away.
For having just only been on the radio for most of your life.
I'm done.
You're doing fine, Thomas.
Okay. All right, Mark, bring us up to date on what's going on at Sports Leisure Vacations.
Well, I'm looking at a brand new, for those of you who travel with Sports Leisure Vacations, I am looking at a brand new copy of the Sports Leisure Traveler, our newsletter, which is at the printer and will be out on Tuesday. It will hit the mail on Tuesday, and it will go online live on Wednesday for those of you who are part of the 8,365 active travelers from Sports Leisure Vacations. You're going to get a wonderful newsletter full of exciting new trips, your opportunity to attend our spring preview, and also to be a part of a brand new service that Sports Leisure Vacations is going to be offered called By Invitation Only. We're going to be offering some very special trips on very short notice, and you will have to sign up to be a part of this list on the internet ahead of time. It is called By Invitation Only. Watch your newsletter in the mail this week for details. And somewhere here I've got two lucky Travel Club listeners. Yes, Mr.
Oh, no, go ahead.
All right. My two lucky listeners are Chiquita Fratto and Dorothy Sanchez. Chiquita Fratto and Dorothy Sanchez, you have won $100 in travel cash from Sports Leisure Vacations just for listening to the Travel Guys. Call our office at 361-8687, and the secret staff code is Tangerine this week.
Tangerine.
That's
I got this, okay?
Yes, sir.
Our special guest, Josie Miller.
Uh-huh.
With TripAdvisor.com.
Yes.
The world's largest travel site. Okay, yeah. There you go. I mean, I just wanted to let you know, you gave me all these great notes, and all I need to do is put them in front of me once.
Are you still with us, Josie?
I'm here. Yeah.
Did that sound impressive there?
You did a great job.
Okay, well.
Thank you, Josie.
Thomas and I are just here playing radio on a Sunday. We got a couple of questions here on our website. One actually came before we went on the air, and another came during our first segment there. So let me start off with these. And let me just tell our listeners that we're talking with Josie Miller, who is with TripAdvisor.com, despite what Tom said. And she is here to answer your questions today. If you have a question about TripAdvisor or how they do business or how they figure things out, 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530 are our phone numbers. Josie, one of our listeners asks, does TripAdvisor ever contact a property regarding their response to a review?
What do you mean by a response to a review?
I'm guessing that if I posted a review online and then the hotel posted a response to the review, maybe they called me names and said I didn't know what I was talking about or for whatever reason. Does TripAdvisor ever go back and remove a review or a response to a review because it's not appropriate?
Well, there's definitely levels of appropriateness in terms of reviews. I know that reviewers can remove their own reviews. For example, if they went back and had a great experience and they want to say, you know what, maybe that was my fault the first time or something like that, they have that option. If there's any question of fraudulent reviews, after a while when it's been reported by reviewers over and over that there might be many fraudulent reviews on a certain hotel's web page, that you can be red flagged, and if you're red flagged, that basically if you see a red flag on a hotel site, you may not want to look at their reviews because a lot of people have complained about them. But for the most part, I also want to emphasize, we're talking 50 million reviews. We're talking millions upon millions upon millions of reviews. So to talk about, you know, a fraudulent one here or there, it's such a small percentage.
So
there are all these systems in place to be monitoring them, and reviewers can, when they see something that they think is questionable, can flag it, and TripAdvisor can go and do some research and see, you know, if they think that there's something here that's worth, you know, looking into and so on. So all of these things are in place in order to make this the most trustworthy site as it possibly can be. And as I mentioned earlier, if people didn't trust it, I don't think they would go so much.
Tom, you had a question?
Yeah, I did. Josie, you know, with all of that being said, 50 million reviews and all, you know, as someone gets ready to use TripAdvisor and check reviews and so forth, help us out. You know, you want to be able to make a decision that's going to take less time than your actual trip to to decide. So
you know,
give us some ground rules.
Much fun.
Well, sure, but what if can you kind of filter it a little bit as to what it is that you would advise someone to do to keep it from taking you
what's
too
the
long?
If you've never been on TripAdvisor before, what would be the first couple of things that you would do when you went on the website?
Well, first of all, I always start with the traveler photos. That is my absolute favorite part of any travel planning social network site, including TripAdvisor. I like to see what people will see with their own eyes when they get there, not the photoshopped professional shot on the most beautiful sunny day with supermodels as guests photos that you see on the website sometimes. I want to see somebody with their dinky little point and shoot, what they saw, because that's much closer to what I'm going to see. That's what I want to see. So that's where I always begin. Because immediately I can also get a feel, you know, like we were talking about earlier, your travel style. If something to me is all metals and whites and just very uber modern and looks like something out of the Jetsons, personally I don't feel comfortable with that, you know, vibe.
So you're looking
for
something.
That said, I have a friend who looks for that in the hotels that he stays at. He loves that look. That makes him feel like he's a part of something. It makes him feel like he's a trendsetter to be a part of, you know, a place like that. So it really just depends on what you're looking for. But immediately you can make that judgment based on what you see in those photos.
Are there any written things that are red flags to you, either or that are green flags to you? Things that you've seen when you've personally been looking at reviews on a site that make you go, oh yeah, I immediately want to go there, or oh no, not that place?
Well, you know, what I see is going to be different than what you see, because my travel style is going to be different than yours. Like I was saying, you want to eliminate the most positive. So if it's saying, this is the best experience of my entire life, everything was perfect, well, that doesn't really actually say that much to me. What made it so perfect? I want to know. I want to know details. I want to know, tell me about the bath products. Tell me about the sheets. Tell me about the view. Tell me about the neighborhood, you know, location. I live in New York City, so to me that always is a factor. So I'm looking for the details. I want to know all of those things. And if it's on the flip side, the most negative review I've ever seen, especially if I see something about like a bed bugs type of a thing, which I never pay attention to the ones that say that, oh, there were bed bugs, because there's just no way that you know, you know. If you end up with a bite, it could be a mosquito bite. You know, people say,
bed,
oh, I got, it was bed bugs.
Bed bugs, a popular topic here over the years in the Travel Guys.
Of course it is. And I live in New York City. It's a very popular topic here. So I disregard the ones that are like that, because that, to me, is a little bit over the top. I want to know what the real people like me are saying, and I like the people who approach it like a reporter. They say, here was the good stuff, here was the bad stuff, now make your educated decision based on what I presented you. Here are the facts as far as my experience went. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody who seems like they've looked at it from an objective point of view. Because, you know, they're not just saying, they might be looking for a certain kind of food in the lobby, and they say, you know, to me, for example, I have a little baby. It helps me to, you know, we have trouble getting out of the house every morning. That's no different on vacation. If they have a kitchenette, that's a fact. They've got it or they don't. I want to see that they've got it. That's something that I can find on the reviews. A lot of the times people will say it was a stocked kitchen, you know, so then I can actually cook a meal if, you know, it's past bedtime and I'm hungry, you know. So these are all the things that weigh into my personal travels that may or may not apply to you, but those are the kind of things that I'm looking for.
Josie, I really want to thank, we want to thank you for your time this afternoon. Those are some terrific hits, some terrific tips. I think you, what you're saying is that when you get to TripAdvisor, you've got to decide personally what is most important to you and kind of prioritize, and that's where ratings can alert you to something that is really important to you on the plus or the minus side. Josie, thank you very much for taking some time out of your Sunday to join us today from Cross Country.
You nailed it, and my pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right, Josie Miller from TripAdvisor with us on the Travel Guys this afternoon. And so, Tomas, do you know what the number one rated restaurant is in Sacramento on TripAdvisor?
You know, I
no, you did. It's
the Firehouse,
and the Firehouse is in the top 10. It's number 9. You know how I am with lists. We're not going to go
kitchen.
Through all. No, the kitchen. You are right. Believe it or not.
You know, and I'll tell you this: if most people that you run into, you say, "Oh yeah, have you been to the kitchen?" They have no idea what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
But
so
those that have been, it's
give us
very
a cheap,
unique.
Blatant plug for the kitchen here.
Yeah,
it's just right. It's very close here, right over on Hurley Way. Yeah.
Hidden back behind the fast food place. You would never know it was
the
there.
The very best restaurant. And the next one is the Freeport Bakery is number 2. I mentioned the Firehouse down. The Waterboy is 4th. Biba's is 5th. So it's interesting because with these reviews, as Josie was mentioning, people are looking for different things. If you're looking for a good burger, it's different from if you're looking for a good steak or a good Italian restaurant, or if you're looking for the cheapest hotel or you're looking for the best hotel.
And with that being said, I bet you if you took a look and you said, TripAdvisor, tell us, what is the best place to buy luggage to travel with?
I think they would probably say Holloway Travel Outfitters.
Is it, check and see if it's there.
Especially
right now that John's got that special going on Sunday afternoon hats.
Yep.
As well as, you know, and here again, we've talked about this a lot, and that has to do with when you're traveling, the opportunity for people to steal your identity, to steal the information off of your credit cards. And John's got something going on we've talked about a couple of times on the air right now that seems to be really hot. So if you do plan to travel, especially out of the country, he's got your stop identity theft stuff.
And you know what we've talked about with Holloway Travel Outfitters? One of the best aspects of this is people are always saying that Best Buy is the retail outlet for Amazon. People go and look at the stuff, and then they can go online and buy it. With Holloway Travel Outfitters, you can go to their website, packinglight.net, and you can buy anything that you can find in the store and then some. Holloway Travel Outfitters, open 7 days a week on Fulton Avenue between Northrop and Hurley, or available on the net 24/7 at packinglight.net.
Welcome again to the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. Now, we've talked about this show, and you've heard ads on this radio station for Forbidden Broadway, and you've heard perhaps a couple of those little snippets, haven't you, Mark?
Yes.
The one where they spoof a couple of different shows.
The
Lion King is in the ad.
Yes. And Les Mis.
And the other one, I'm not sure which show it's from, but it has something to
do with, even though the show may be shoddy, everybody likes a naked body, I think is what the line is. But before we launch into
audiences are definitely liking it.
Yes, and before we launch into the interview with some of the cast here, let's play a little snippet that I think will somewhat exemplify.
Will help folks understand the people they're about to meet.
Okay, here we go.
It's stupid, careless, fictional, nonsensical verboseness, even though the sound of it may give it grandioseness. So damn cute you choke on all the sappy sweet glucoseness. Stupid, careless, fictional, nonsensical verboseness. Um-diddle-little-little-um-diddle-lie.
Okay, that pretty much says it all. And that's the voice of Jessica Reiner-Harris in studio.
Hello.
Hi, Jessica. Thanks for coming today.
Of course.
You don't look and sound like Mary Poppins.
Isn't that amazing what the costume does the voice?
We were just, Tom, talking before we started the interview about how it's almost sacrilegious. I mean, Mary Poppins is, you know, and Jessica, you were saying that it's kind of feels that way to you sometimes.
Yes. I'm quite a big Disney fan, so I was so excited to get to do the Mary Poppins sequence because, of course, I grew up with it and loved it, and I get to sing a parody of Feed the Birds and parody of what you heard, Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, but I feel guilty because you know, it's pretty mocking, but it's also funny, and so it's okay.
So the show is Forbidden Broadway. Yeah. It's at the Cosmopolitan Cabaret through April 15th. Has actually been extended. And, Mark, you know a little bit about this show.
It's been it's been an off-Broadway production, Tom, for many, many years. And it used to be something that you kind of had to be in New York because it was topical every year. It was like Beach Blanket Babylon is in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. It changed on a regular basis, and it was updated. And now, as folks have become more familiar with Broadway through public television and Broadway series being out on the road, and there are lots of ways to see and experience a Broadway show. Many of them have been made into movies. Some of them have special readings and things. So folks are more familiar with Broadway musicals, and certainly here in Sacramento, the popularity of the music circus and stuff. So doing parodies, I think, of old Broadway tunes and stuff is something that people can relate to. Obviously, they can relate to, because if they couldn't, you guys wouldn't be playing to full houses and happy audiences. So, Jessica, and also in studio with us is Mark Ginsburg. Mark?
Mark is a native of Philadelphia, a recent transplant from New York. And, Mark, tell us, what is it people are going to see, and what's it like being in Forbidden Broadway? Give us a feel.
They're going to see a big wide gamut of shows that we lovingly mock. So we could start all the way back to Ethel Merman times and Fiddler on the Roof, Carol Channing, and we go all the way up to Little Mermaid, which is coming to Music Circus this upcoming season.
This summer, yeah.
That's right. And Wicked, even, which is one of the biggest Broadway smashes in recent memory that's still playing in New York. So you'll see a gamut of shows that, again, are lovingly mocked. Mm-hmm. We're a little scathing. However, it's all done out of love. Imitation.
This is a family show that you could bring the family
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, there's not F-bombs flying all over the place or anything like that. It's just, it's a family atmosphere, and it's just all in good fun. And if you know Broadway, then the more you know Broadway, probably the more you're going to enjoy the show. But I think even a casual Broadway fan would enjoy seeing this particular show, unless, of course, you like to just sit home and not laugh.
No, that's true. That's not going to happen.
It sounds like we have a real hit on our hands here. You folks have
extended.
You've been extended, yes. So folks now have about a 5-6 week window still to go see it. Shows are every day of the week except Monday and Tuesday.
Yep.
Okay, so Wednesday through Sunday, matinees on.
On Thursday and Saturday.
Thursday and
Sunday
Saturday
as well.
At the Cosmo downtown. Lots of great places to eat downtown. So you can go down and make a full day out of it without any trouble at all. Jessica and Mark, reactions, audience reactions, your thoughts on have you performed in Sacramento before?
I actually grew up in Sacramento. So I have performed in Sacramento, but in a different setting, sort of more in the community theater settings when I was in high school. So this is my first time performing.
Where did you go to high school?
I went to Mira Loma High School.
You know, we got a
that
shout
is
out.
That is unbelievable. We have two matadors right
here. Oh, my
here
God!
from? Yeah, what class?
What class?
Uh-oh. I shouldn't have asked the lady her age. I guess
2002.
You have to go back 29 years before that to hit mine.
Hey, a matador's a matador.
A matador is a matador. That's pretty amazing.
Look at there.
Yes.
Mark, don't you feel like the third wheel now?
I do. I am absolutely not a matador.
Well, we'll just sit here for the next 20 minutes. We can talk old heist. No, I'm just kidding.
Why don't the two of you individually a little personal invitation to our Travel Guys listeners right now to invite them out to the show. Mark, you first.
All right. Well, if you're looking, like we said, if you're looking for a night of just mindless laughter and hilarity, just come on over to the Cosmo. We promise there will be lots of fun, lots of costumes and makeup, men dressed in fat suits and women costumes. Lots and lots of wigs, mustaches. It's a great time. Whether you are familiar with the Broadway scene or you're not, it will still be a great time,
I promise.
Perfect
for cross-dressers.
Yes,
there you go.
It's true.
And Jessica,
it's always funny for a fat guy in a dress.
Absolutely. And you know what? If you don't feel like watching, having mindless laughs, if you feel like a night full of mindful laughs, you may want to come to the Cosmopolitan Cabaret, where you'll see satirical and brilliant, witty lyrics of shows you love and adore. So if you are in the in crowd in terms of musical theater, you'll laugh hysterically. And if you're not, you will like the voices. And I guess I'm back to the
funny costumes. You're not the heck with you, and we have your money. No,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, details and links to the Cosmopolitan Cabaret or the California Musical Theater's website and all at
TravelGuysRadio.com. As always, Mark and Jessica, thank you for coming in, and thanks to the folks who made it possible. It is our pleasure to support you all, and we hope the folks at the Cosmo will come back and see us again in a few months when another show comes to town.
Yeah,
thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. Go Matadors.
Woo!
Yeah, and let's close with another little sound bite from the show. Here we go.
It's high. This song's too high. Pity me. Change the key.
Those folks were a lot of fun.
They were.
I mean, they really were a good time.
I'll tell you about a good time. Yeah. You guys had a great time talking about being matadors.
Oh,
that was great.
Running into someone who went to the same high school as you did all the way down the road. All right. We are wrapping up a busy week here on the Travel Guys. Next Sunday, we have all of that information about Kiva and all of the microfinancing and how folks around the planet are all helping each other. It is going to be an incredibly fascinating program without any doubt. All right, I want to remind you too, our mystery spot contest is going to start in 3 weeks. You need to go to travelguysradio.com and register your email address there so that you'll get special clues and be able to win big prize to go to New York or Hawaii. Maybe, Tom, you should have the daughters enter and take care of the honeymoon.
Absolutely. I might even quit this radio show and enter the contest myself.
Remember, we are the Travel Guys. An hour a week is all we ask. Thomas will be on FM 93.1 all week long from 3 to 7. Is that right?
You got it.
Playing music of the
70s and 80s.
The classic hits. Tom Romano, I'm Mark Hoffman. We'll see you next Sunday on the Travel Guys.
Remember, an hour a week is all we ask.